This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They walk to work in the heat and snow, uphill, both ways. They could tell a storm was coming, not because some slick weatherman told them so, but because they felt it in their knee. They're your dad, your granddad, and every other man who built this country. And when the weather got tough, the tough got Cabot Wood Stain. Its deep penetrating pigments and oils have made it a pro's trusted stain partner for 130 years. Cabot, our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com.
When pain strikes, put on a Salon Pause pain relief or arthritis patch and join the pain-free movement. Salon Pause is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter pain relief patch. Two powerful active ingredients go right where it hurts, reducing inflammation and relieving mild to moderate pain for up to 12 hours. Millions are joining the pain-free movement. Now, it's your turn. Salon Pause.
Salon Pause.
Available at CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith. Get pass knocked away, Maritska. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis with you on the program today. Our high school football preview continues with Hastings High Coach Rick Rebarger. We'll talk about the Tigers and what they have in store for 2010. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. I can't believe that people have already had fantasy drafts. There are some people that told me they had them last week. Not in the last couple of days, a week ago. It's too early to have your fantasy draft, people. I understand that for some, if you're in three or four, then that makes a difference, and you're just so darn busy that you can't find one night in a month and a half, then you're probably not going to be a very good fantasy football player, or you're just damn lucky. That's all there is to it. Because you do got to pay a little bit of attention to what's going on out there. But if you got a question for Joe, email it to the Dent Popper inbox, douganddaddy at espnsuperstation.com. Douganddaddy at espnsuperstation.com. Plus, Drew Shenick is going to join us today, the head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm. We got a little news out there concerning the Tri-City Storm, so we'll be talking about that on the program today. But up first, Daddy, how are you? Is everything okay? The Royals still haven't scored.
Yeah, they're just struggling. And but did somebody say on this program Mike Smith broke his leg yesterday? It's in the newspapers this morning, people. That's why you listen to the Doug and Daddy Show, because we update you first with the Huskers. The inside breaking news, we update you. Check us out every morning, 11 to 12. Tell your friends. All fall long.
It's on ESPNSuperstation.com as well. They can't pick us up on the radio. Rick Rebarger joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how's Tigerland this morning? You guys getting through the heat and getting done what you want through the first few days of practice?
Yeah, I've been real impressed with our boys' attitude. You know, they've handled the heat pretty well. You know, we've had usual every once in a while you get a guy get a little too hot. You got to send him over the trainer and but for the most part, our young men have done a pretty good job with dealing with it and still bringing some positive attitudes.
Rick, maybe for the first time in a long time, you guys look to have some depth on your offensive and defensive lines. Is it the first time since you've been at Hastings that you've had that depth?
Well, no, I'd say, our 2007 team was pretty deep. But since then, we've been a little thin. And, things are looking better. Our numbers are up and our commitment level has been better, and the attitudes have been a lot better. And it's just, all in all, it leads to a very optimistic outlook.
Well, you got a dual-threat quarterback in Brady Rutt that can obviously throw the ball a little bit. You got receivers and playmakers on the outside that can be some deep threats for you?
Yeah, we've got a young man that Unfortunately, broke his elbow, dislocated his elbow in training camp last year and missed most of the season. And Manny Maldonado, he's going to be a senior. And Manny Maldonado, as a sophomore, was a pretty good possession receiver for us. And we've got Jaden Lacy back, who was a sophomore last year that's had some experience. And then we got James Hammack. We've got some nice big targets. And then we've got some young men, John Langton and Austin Gittison and some speed as well. That it looks to make a nice mix out on the perimeter.
Rick Rebarger is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the head coach of the Hastings Tigers. Coach, you got some things, I think, pointed in the right direction towards the end of last year. Do you see that carrying over? And what's the overall feeling of the coaching staff as you get ready for this season?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're real optimistic. You know, of course, it's 2 days, and we haven't really had a scrimmage yet, and we haven't, obviously gotten into the first part of our season, but just coming off of our team camp at UNK and looking at what we're doing right now this first week, it seems like we're a little ahead of the game, and kids are picking things up real well. So I'd say we're very optimistic. We've still got Skyler coming to town for game one, and I think we match up fairly well with them. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out.
Rick, you bring up the schedule a little bit. I'll bring up your district. Other than Aurora, you guys going to be a very, very difficult team to compete with going for their third state title in a row. But you look at the rest of that, it's a handleable district.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, things change in a year. York's got a lot coming back as well, and surely we're not going to disrespect them and overlook them. And then, of course, you've got a new coaching staff headed up by Coach Stein down in Grand Island Northwest, and I know he's got a good group of sophomores coming in that are very athletic, and his system, he's going to be kind of a, from what I hear, kind of a, open it up, throw the ball a little bit, spread things out, so it'll be interesting to see when we get down to districts. And of course, you mentioned Aurora. I don't expect them to drop off a whole heck of a lot. Their JV team was pretty solid, and they've got some good skilled guys coming back. So it still looks to be like a challenge. And how, really what it's going to boil down to is how well do you get through your non-district games health-wise. And that obviously are the last three ball games of the season. So for us anyhow. So that's something we've got to keep our fingers crossed and knock on wood.
Hastings High Coach Rick Rebarger joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we're previewing the high school football teams in the area. As he said, they get ready for Skyler to open the season. Coach, we've talked a little bit about what you have in the offensive backfield, how the line's looking a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your defense, because obviously that seems to be the one thing with some of the teams you're playing. If you can hold them down, that'll let that offense come along. Is it the same guys on both sides of the ball, or are there a couple guys that are going to specialize on D?
Well, first of all, that's going to be the number one side of the ball. So what our plan going in with the depth we have in our skill positions is we're going to solidify three deep in each position defensively. And if we can get away with it and not start those guys on offense and let them rest a little bit here and there on when the offense is on, we look to be a lot fresher and better off. Now, with the line play, that's going to be somewhat of a challenge, but we're only playing four versus five, so we got some kids that are quite versatile. Really, graduation hit us hard in the linebacker core, so obviously that's got to be a focus. But skill position wise, we got Tanner Jones. I think he's going to be a solid corner for us. Again, you got Austin Gittison, who's going to be a solid DB. You got some guys coming in at safety and so forth, and I feel pretty comfortable with our 3-deep coverage, I feel pretty comfortable with our defensive line as well. It's just a matter of keeping those guys fresh.
Rick, you bring up a Tanner Jones. He also kicks for you, right?
You bet. You bet he does.
12?
He's got a kind of a snappy leg. He's a pretty good little kicker for us, and I think probably 50% of the balls he kicked off last year were touchbacks. And that obviously is going to help our defense out tremendously as well.
Snappy, wiry. He's all, he's got it all going on for him over there. And hopefully he'll get a chance to knock a few extra points through the uprights this year. Coach, we'll let you get back to work with the ball club, and we'll keep up with you throughout the season. Best of luck to you and the Tigers this year.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate your coverage.
You bet, buddy. Rick Rebarger, the head coach of the Hastings Tigers, starting off the program today as our high school football preview continues. And, you know, Daddy, as I'm looking over the schedule again this week and getting ready for the upcoming season, you know Hastings is going to have Adams Central that second game, and that's going to be a big test for them. And, again, they play a lot of tough competition. But there are more of those week zero games. Now all of A and all of B, it was always A and then a handful, but now it's all B, and there are a lot of week zero games, which means you get a bye week somewhere in the season, and most generally those are in the first 3 weeks for just about everybody that has those bye weeks. It makes it a lot easier, obviously, for the state to schedule their games, but again, what do you think about having that bye week in the middle of the season? I don't know anybody that would like that, unless the rare occasion it gives you a week for somebody to heal up, and you can't bank on those things.
Well, that's the advantage, and that had to be one of those good timing injuries, which, you know, that's a total luck deal there. But yeah, the whole bye week in the middle of the year to me just means an extra week of practice, and that, you know, something, you know, you get into October and it's like, hey, we're in game shape, we're ready to play games, and now, oh, good, we get to practice another week.
Well, and the one thing is, if everybody started practice on Monday, you probably want to play on the 27th because that's 3 full weeks.
Yep.
And you want to get out there and see what you got. But, man, oh, man, those bye weeks would just seem to be killers. We talked about that before on the show, but there's going to be more teams than I remember in the state scheduling.
You know, and I think every coach out there, we've got a bye week, guys. We're going to go back to fundamentals. You know, seniors are going, oh, great. Kill me now.
You were a true leader, weren't you?
You know what? We sucked it up. We, you know, you would have gutted through something like that. But, you know, that's no, you know, it's not much fun. Hopefully they shorten them down. And once you get in that game shape, shorten down those practices and let you get out of there a little bit.
Yeah, and you mentioned back in when you were playing, which wasn't all that long ago, the two-a-days and the morning workouts, and you got practice for about, I mean, you're going through some schools anywhere from 6 to 10 practices or days where you could have 1 or 2 days before school ever started. Now school starts so much earlier. You got morning practices instead of noon and 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. A lot of practices used to be at night, and you don't hardly see that anymore. It's the early morning practices, and you work around so many things, and that was to get the kids in shape. Now if you're not in shape coming into practice, have fun sitting on the bench because you pretty much have no chance.
Yeah, you know, it used to be 6-6-6 or 7-7. That was just the normal times you went, depending on, you know, just up and down. You know, when you talk to your buddies from different schools, that was everybody's practice schedule. It was either went at 6 in the morning, 6 at night, or 7-7-7.
Well, and sometimes you got in the bus and went to camp, and Coach Boone at T.C. Williams would have make you work 3-a-day practices. So, you know, you got to be careful.
There you go.
Doug and Daddy
Middle
Show.
Middle of the day.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program. Coming up, Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, in the last segment, as always, and the head coach of the Tri-City Storm and general manager, Drew Schenick, have some breaking news with the storm. Plus, we'll talk about the ice getting laid down. We can talk ice when it's so hot like this. Hopefully, that'll cool you down a little bit. And more on the day in sports right after this on ESPN Radio.
It's backed by popular demand at Bruce Furniture in Hastings and Holdridge. The buy one, get one free sale on Lane Recliners. Purchase a world-famous Lane Recliner at its regular price and get a second one of equal value absolutely free. If you don't need two recliners, bring a friend and share the savings. Choose from nearly 100 recliners in wall, saver, and rocker recliner styles and colors to fit everyone's room. Easy credit terms plus great savings on comfort. But hurry, the buy one, get one free sale on Lane Recliners ends soon. Bruce Furniture, downtown Holdridge, and south of the Landmark Center on Marion Road, Hastings.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com. we know you're chomping at the mouthpiece waiting for your favorite college and pro teams to strap on the shoulder gear and do some pad popping. We have a remedy for your football withdrawal.
Let's play some football!
It's a steady dose of summer camps from high school to college to the pros.
We are here to win.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we'll see a spotty shower storm possible with high temperatures to around 97. South winds will stay at 5 to 15. Tonight's lows reach 70 with an isolated storm possible. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 88.
Last night, friends were in town. Where do you go? That's right, the Courtyard. Had a little steak skewer last night, Daddy, listening to the two-person band. But is it red wanting blue or blue wanting red? Which one is it? I think it's red wanting blue, isn't it? It's one of the top. See, I'm an idiot. I should have checked on that. I had that. I know Todd Gatula's going crazy because they're coming in and providing the music the next three nights at Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and they will be in the Courtyard. So what better time? And you know what? The misters were going last night, so you didn't have to worry about it being hot. You're under the umbrella. You're having a beverage. You're eating some steak skewers, some shrimp, a cheeseburger, some ribs, some prime rib, any of those items off the menu. They're there for you because Big Burger Night on Thursday. Don't forget that. Boom, and then the misters are going, and you're listening to some music, and you're with friends. I mean, what else would you want?
You worked with sweat when you danced, though, didn't you, Douglas?
We thought about dancing. You know, we were going to dance, but I thought it was a short song. So by the time we got up, we'd have sat down. And in following your philosophy, that would have made you sweat a little bit.
Yes.
So we didn't dance.
No girls? Were there girls?
There were duh.
Oh, there's always girls in the Courtyard.
Oh, it's girls. Come on. Fighting them off with a stick. Of course, they wanted to know where you were. I said it was above 60, so you weren't coming out. I said, if it's 58 or 59 degrees, usually you'll see Daddy. But if it's below that, it's too cold. If it's above that, it's too hot. Hey, don't forget, Cunningham's Journal also has their Modified Fantasy Football League getting underway. Unlike other leagues where you draft teams, you just choose players each week. You get who you want. For more information on how to play, stop by, pick up a sheet, and get started. The best part, Daddy, 100% payout. They're not doing this to put a little in their pocket. They're doing it to have folks come in and enjoy football and have a little fun. They put it into the league. There's weekly prizes and, of course, their big end-of-the-year prize. And also to help entice the excitement, on NFL Sundays, Cunningham's will be running the Sunday training camp special. Just $1.50 drafts all day, from opening to close, all day. Draft, mug, icy, glass, $1.50. What more could you want? Grab your friends, go to Cunningham's, and watch your favorite teams play, whether it's the exhibition, the college, or the NFL season. Remember, get signed up today for their Modified Fantasy Football League. Cunningham's Journal, the place to go time and time again.
I think if you're doing, like, two big-ass beer shuttle runs, you'd have to drink them under 70 seconds.
Albert Hainsworth style, huh?
Oh, he'd make that, I'm sure.
Well, Tri-City Storm, the ice is going down at the arena, so it must be getting close to having the kids skate on that ice and getting practice going, and we're about a little over a month away from the Fall Classic in the USHL. The head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shenick, joins us in studio. Coach, good morning.
Morning, fellas.
What are you doing in town? What's going on? what are you doing?
Slumming with you two.
That is true. And we saved Drew until we were back up on 1460, and we want to thank all the fans that have been patiently waiting for ESPN to pop back on here in Kearney. Hopefully we're continuing to improve the signal, and Coach is in to talk about what's going on with the Storm. First off, what is going on with the Storm? There's a couple stories we'll get to. You've hired an assistant coach. You've got a new player coming in, but the ice is going down. What are some of the things that you're back in town doing this week?
Well, we had the high school kids obviously coming in early with school starting on Friday. They had to get registered and get into their housing family. So we got five young men that are now here awaiting the start of training camp here. But they've got a couple weeks yet that they get a chance to get acclimated here to Kearney and the heat and whatever. But those five young men right now are grinding away, putting the ice in and helping paint the logos and laying down the ice here. So we're keeping fairly busy that way. And, outside of that, we're just making sure that everybody's on the same page staff-wise here, making sure we know what we want to do, when the bulk of the guys report, so we hit the ground running.
Drew, I've got to ask, when you get high school kids in town, obviously keeping them busy is one way to keep their mind off of the homes. If I moved halfway across the country as a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid. Is that a concern you have for any of these kids, or have they been through this before?
Well, not so much for the first-year players because it's generally their first time away. So, you know, there's always that concern. But, you know, the great thing about being part of a hockey team or any team and you have to move away from home, you've got, you know, in the case of a hockey team, you've got 23 ready-made friends that are always there you can hang out with. You're never really on your own unless you choose to be. And so, you know, there's a bit of an adjustment period for all the guys, you know, being away from home, being away from their friends. But at the end of the day, you know, the team really becomes your family and they all hang out and do things together. So, you know, the first week or so, there's, you know, some long lips once in a while. But after that, once they, you know, find each other and figure out, you know, the different personalities, guys just gravitate and there's generally no problems.
I wouldn't worry about my friends. I wanted my mommy. That was just me, though.
You still do. It's kind of weird. Drew Shedick is with us in studio. There's a new member of the family, one coming up, your actual family. But as far as the hockey family, you have added an assistant coach in Lenny Hoffman. I imagine Squiggy won't be far behind, but how's Lenny doing?
You know, Lenny's good. You know, he's a young guy that, you know, is coming out of Division III college in St. Scholastica. And, you know, a good guy. He's going to, you know, bring a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of teaching to our hockey club. And, you know, somebody that both, you know, Coach Fink and myself really thought would, you know, complement what we're trying to do here. And he was kind of an easy choice for us when it came time to finding a guy.
Also, you're picking up an extra player, one you think is going to be very, very talented, a defenseman.
Not really an extra player.
Well, yeah,
they're getting rid of one. Well, they're not really getting rid of one. Kevin Lind, the story that's breaking this morning, Kevin Lind, who was part of the trade with Chicago, Notre Dame has decided we need you. We need you now. And so he's going to leave, and then you're going to have to take us into this trade and how that all works because Chicago might be more bummed about this than you guys are.
Well, you know, in reality, they are. And what had happened was when the trade was going down, I knew Kevin was going to have some options, maybe the OHL, maybe college was going to take him because it always happens late in the year. It's a domino effect. And so I put a trade clause in when I made the trade that if, you know, for instance, Kevin Lind didn't play a regular season game for us, that, you know, we were going to be compensated with another player. And as, you know, fate would have it, Jared Tenorti, who played for the national development team that was slated to go to Notre Dame, signed in the OHL, and the domino effect happened. They needed a defenseman at Notre Dame. So Notre Dame promptly called me and said, we're taking Kevin Lind from you, and, you know, good luck. But as luck would have it, you know, I had that clause in place, and we're getting a very good player in Dan Colomatis, who was Kevin Lind's actual defense partner in Chicago. And, you know, he impressed me a lot with, you know, the way he played and the way Kevin played together when they were able to shut Jaden down. So when it came time to picking a name to put on that clause when we were doing the trade, his name was the one that came to me, and that's the guy that we got. And, you know, I don't think, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, that's what we're here for, is to move guys on to higher levels. We're happy for Kevin. Are we going to miss him? Sure. But I think, you know, Dan's going to be able to come in and fill those shoes. He's not quite as big, but he's going to be able to come in and fill those shoes just fine for us.
So Chicago's just out then?
Chicago's the one that's really on the outside looking in. And you know, I mean, it was a tough phone call because they're friends of mine over there in Chicago. And I had to phone and tell them that they're going to probably lose their top returning guy for their team. He's going to end up coming over to my team just by virtue of what happened with Kevin.
Drew Shenick joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Does that change what you had planned with this team? Does one player, can he change what your thoughts are heading into the season?
Well, no, like I said, I think that, you know, Dan's going to be probably a little bit more offensive than what Kevin was going to be. So, you know, again, I don't think we're losing a whole lot. They played together. They played the same minutes. We're just losing in size is what we're losing. But, you know, Dan had went to an NHL rookie camp and showed very well there this spring. So, you know, we're very excited to have him. And again, time will only tell. I mean, we kind of knew what we were getting with Kevin and planned to have that, but at the same token, you know, there was always that thought in the back of my head that if we did get Dan Colomatis for this very reason, that we weren't going to be any worse off.
23 players, 25 players, you've got your team now, is that right?
Yeah, we're going to have 30 guys come into camp and go through the month here, and you know, by the end of the Fall Classic, I guess it would be Monday after the Fall Classic, each team has to be down to a 23-man roster. So, you know, there's still some spots up for grabs here, but, you know, we have an idea what, you know, what where we're going and who's here, but at the end of the day, there's always a couple surprises.
Drew Shenick joins us here for another couple minutes. Since we last talked, the schedule came out, and I had discussions with Skip Barry about the schedule, and he told me all the benefits that there were to the schedule, but I have to ask you, if maybe this is more of a general manager side of things. I find it so insane that they are going to decide. It's broke down into 2 8-team leagues, and as I told Skip, when this league had whittled itself down to 10 or 11 teams, and you're playing Omaha, Lincoln, 10, 9 times a year, it just got old for the fans, no matter how good each team was. So we were so excited that the league was growing. You're going to see these guys once. They're coming in once, you're going there once, and even you don't play the guys in your side the same amount of times you play. If I got this right, there's 6, so 5 of them you play 8 times, and then 2 of them you play 4 times, 2 at their barn, 2 here. How can that be found out as fair when you're trying to decide who goes to the playoffs?
Well, it is a little confusing, and what had happened with the 2 new expansion teams coming in and costs obviously going up throughout the league, you know, we as a league, and I guess it'd be the Board of Governors, owners, and presidents, sat down and said, how can we cut it off? And one way of cutting costs is playing your regional rivals, the Omahas, the Lincolns, where it's only a 2-hour trip and back. You're not staying overnight. You're not getting the cost of hotels and extra things like that. So we'll play your interdivisional rivals more and then cut the cost that way. Well, then we have 3 divisions. So how do you make the playoffs work with 3 divisions? Well, it was kind of decided that Des Moines was close to the West as they could be, and they've flip-flopped divisions every year, it seems like. And then Dubuque, we wanted to have 1 expansion team in each of the 2 conferences, so they flipped the coin, and Dubuque ended up coming over to us, which is good because of the travel. It would be a lot farther to go to Muskegon. So the playoffs are going to work the top 6 out of 8. So, you know, unfortunately, it's unbalanced, so we just have to hope that, the Central Division's really strong, and Dubuque and Des Moines don't have such an easy time over there because we don't get our chance to take our licks at them. But, you know, it is what it is, and again, I understand the cost structure and whatever, but, I know that at times it can get a little redundant when you see, you know, Lincoln or Omaha or Sioux City in your building every third night.
Drew, are you where you thought you'd be entering this second year? I mean, is this a stage of you saw with this hockey team initially?
Yeah, I think so. Our goals have certainly changed. We've had a full year of having a full-time scouting staff. We've had a full year of myself and my assistant being in the league here, so we kind of know what to expect. And, you know, coming out of training camp, I think we're ahead of where we were last year, but again, we haven't played any games, so we're not sure. But, you know, just based on what I saw at camp and of the returning guys and the new guys, I think that, you know, we are ahead of last year's team, but I think every team in the league's probably saying the same thing. So, you know, again, we're not really going to know for sure until we start, putting the skates to the ice. But I think, you know, at this point in time, we are a little bit ahead.
Who's the team to shoot for this year? I've some of the folks are saying the Storm are going to be one of the teams to shoot for, so we won't even put you in that boat. But is Omaha still the team to beat, or have there been enough changes with graduations and 20-year-olds that the league has formed itself looks a little different?
Well, I think the league as a whole is going to be very, very competitive. I think there's a lot of parity. And I just, you know, we were talking about it in my office yesterday with Mr. Brooks and my assistant coaches. I don't think there's going to be an easy game. I don't think there's a runaway good team. I think there's going to be some good teams. Would I classify us in that group? Certainly. You know, but I don't think there's going to be any teams we're going to be able to beat upon and have easy wins. I think our division, especially just looking up and down, I know Fargo's lost a bit and I know Omaha's lost a bit, but they're still going to be, you know, good hockey clubs. So I think it's going to be very competitive. I don't think you'll have a Green Bay scenario or a Omaha scenario where they're way out in front of everybody else. I think the league as a 16-team league is going to be very, very, very close. And, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, the little things, who can stay healthy and things like that, that could really put you over the edge.
We'll let you get out of here, but just it occurred to me that during that first year, maybe you can't answer this, but the first years back, everything was new in the USHL to you and the guys last year. Now that it's over, can you tell us one story that you just went, are you kidding me? Well, a road trip, a thing that happened. I mean, is there anything out there that you just went, really? I'll be better prepared next year, or this was fun, or this was weird, or this was a heck of a stopover we made, or man, it sure is icy in North Dakota.
Well, it sure is icy in North Dakota. I think it was when we were in Ann Arbor, we were going to do the food challenge. Myself and my 2 trainers were going to sit down and eat it was Skip, actually. It was Skip, Craig Brandenberger, myself, and we're going to do this now. We're going to actually, you know, we may even blog it on our website, but we're going to eat the 30-inch pizza. You got to eat, 3 guys have to eat it in a half an hour, and this thing is monstrous. And we sat down, I hemmed and hawed on this for for an hour whether I was going to be able to do it, because what I didn't want to do was make myself sick before the game against the under-18s. So we ended up being chickens. But when we go to Ann Arbor this year, I think we're going to be sitting down and tackling that big pizza.
Daddy, this sounds like the road trip you need to make, brother.
Am I on this bus?
Hey, absolutely.
Dang. I don't know if I'd put Skip there. He'd have to be quiet long enough to eat that pizza. I don't think that's possible.
We weren't sure on that either, but, you know, you stuff enough pizza in there, you can't talk. So,
two big stories with the Storm. We mentioned earlier in the week, Lenny Hoffman comes on to the staff. Dan Kolomatis is now joining because Kevin Lind is leaving the team. Notre Dame needs him. They're taking him. And so in this trade they made with Chicago at the end of last year, he comes in, so look for Dan Kolomatis as the newest member of the Tri-City Storm. Ice is going down. Fans, you can always peek your head into the event center out there and see what's going on. It's kind of a cool process when they're doing that and getting everything laid down and coloring up the joint once again. And it's always interesting when they put Leland Skeen out there to flatten it.
Yeah, there you go.
Roll him down the ice and flatten that thing out.
Well, you know what? I think season tickets still available as well. So if you're thinking Tri-City, you know, we maybe haven't talked about it on this show for a little bit. Tri-City Storm hockey is going on. Folks, call out there and get your season tickets.
Exactly. Room for you, folks. 338-8809. Get you a hold of the event center out there. And make sure Skeen brings you guys something out of the garden. He's kind of a tidy.
Well, now that I know that, I'll make sure.
Guys, thanks for coming in. Skip back here taking care of us, and Drew Schenick, head coach and general manager. We'll see you when we get on the ice.
All right, fellas, always a pleasure.
Take care. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We will take a break. We got a lot more. Joe DeMeo's coming up. Send us your emails if you've got a fantasy football or baseball question. Plus, we'll talk a little football on the college side. We haven't really delved into the Mike Smith situation. We'll hear from Coach Pelini on that right after this.
Who let the dogs out? Hey, this is Scott to tell you about the Dog Days of Summer event this Saturday at Builders in Kearney. We're raising money for the Humane Society, plus having lots of doggone fun. Bring in your dog for a bath or get a pet photo taken. Or be here at noon to see canine cops Vader, Bruno, and Frank. And at 1, we'll start the Dachshund races. See details at buildersne.com. It's all to raise money for the Kearney Humane Society this Saturday at Builders in Kearney, where we do the Dog Days best. Does it best.
Great style starts with great jeans. The biggest back-to-school Levi's sale is on this week at JCPenney with Levi's skinny and 501 buttonfly jeans for just $36.99. Even more styles are just $32.99, like the 514 Slim Straight or 505 buttonfly. Get to JCPenney today or visit jcp.com for all your favorite Levi's styles, washes, and fits. Plus, enter for a chance to win $50,000 in college tuition. Just text TUITION to 45481 or go to levistuition.com to enter and for all the official rules. New look, new day, who knew? JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends 9/6.
I'd like to call to order the fellowship of the one that got away.
Here, here.
We've got a new member with us today, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
What brought you here today, Jim?
Well, I was reeling in this huge bass, the size of a horse. I got it to the boat, and that old bass looked up at me, winked, spit out that lure, and disappeared.
Isn't it time you became part of the group? To find out where to get your fishing license today, Google Take Me Fishing.
Here, here.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them. at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we'll see a spotty shower or storm possible with high temperatures to around 97. South winds will stay at 5 to 15. Tonight's lows reach 70 with an isolated storm possible. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 88.
I guess it's not enough to fight with the other team, but now you got to fight with your family in baseball? What the heck's going on with K-Rod? Tom and Hastings says, did you see where a pitcher from the Mets got into a fight with his father-in-law? Wouldn't that be a fun Thanksgiving to go to?
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Been some brawling going on in baseball. As Dusty Baker and Tony La Russa having words again. I guess it's an ongoing feud. Been over several decades, both been involved in the game a long time. But what's with the guy, though, getting trapped in there and just starting to kick people? You don't do that.
Well, and again, whatever. If you watch, he is off his feet, pinned up against the wall. He's trying to get people off of him. What do? You want to get crushed? You want people just taking shots at you? I'd be, if I'm falling backwards where I can't shove with my arms, I'd be using my legs as well, saying, get the hell off of me.
Well, he's into the net.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Not kick people in the face and in the middle of the back.
What are you going to roll over? Try and get on your belly?
You're for it. You think that's part of the game. Oh, that's disappointing. I just can't believe you start kicking people in the face. You know, seriously, got steel spikes on.
Mike Smith isn't going to be kicking anybody in the face in the near future. He is out for the season with the Huskers with a broken leg. Coach Pelini said that Smith was injured during a contact drill Tuesday. Now, the kind of the weird thing about Smith is he played 12 games as a sophomore, started all 14 games at left tackle last season, but this year was expected to actually be a backup and could play guard or center for the Huskers with the guys that they had coming in. So Coach Pelini kind of saying, well, it's a good thing we have some depth at this position. Although it's a bad deal, he will be eligible for the medical hardship should he want to do that. God, that's the worst time to get. I mean, you never want to get injured, but that 1 month from the start of fall practice to that first game, getting injured anywhere in there where it's just like.
Well, you put in all that work over the summer and got up and did those drills and did everything going on associated. You're out there with your buddies, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Coach Pelini talked about it after practice yesterday.
It's a pretty clean break. It'll be something that he'll recover fully. It'll be a little while, and it's kind of his decision and family decision, but I'd anticipate he'd want to come back for another year.
And then Coach also said that, it looks like we'll be able to move on.
It's one less guy, but we still have great competition. We still have good depth, and I talked about that depth early in the year, and fortunately we have some, so we still have great competition.
Also, Yoshi Hardrick missed his second practice in a row, an offensive lineman. He had to go to the hospital for dehydration Monday, and the Huskers have moved inside the last couple of days. So I'm guessing that has a little something to do with it, and they went full pads for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, he's going to be back. They were just making sure his levels, as far as dehydration levels, were back where they need to be. He should be good to go today from what I'm hearing. Also, a little Central Nebraska note for you. Young Andrew Rodriguez has been running with the twos, so he is likely not going to redshirt. They think he will play football this fall for the Huskers and mix it up a little bit yesterday with Alonzo Whaley, I was told.
Well, that's good. He's a big old boy out of Aurora, of course, the All-Stater Andrew Rodriguez. And when you're that big, and I think Andrew's that developed, and sometimes it comes mentally more than physically when you go in as a true freshman. Yeah, there's no need to wait on this kid if he can play. I think he is ready to play. I mean, as ready as a freshman can be to play.
Yeah, I think if you can get him in there and get him some of those reps, and I think if you can move people off the ball, something you couldn't do a year ago, you throw him into that fire and see what he can do.
Daddy, college football live, previewing all sorts of teams. Bob Stoops is going to be on it on ESPN television. It airs at 2:30. He's on today. They've been doing a segment called Winners and Losers, where Brian Greasy, one of their analysts, will predict how he thinks the season is going to go from a straight wins-loss perspective. Yesterday, you had Miami of Florida going, yesterday had Florida going 11-1. They only lost to Alabama. Nebraska was up Tuesday. And he's pretty high on the Huskers. He had Nebraska going 11-1, and their only loss was at Texas A&M, 10-0 to start the season, saying that he thought Alex Henry would be the reason that they beat Texas, a low-scoring game, and that Nebraska was better in the kicking game, and they would win that ball game. He didn't seem concerned with the game at Washington. He didn't seem concerned with Kansas State. He thought Missouri would give Nebraska a lot of problems with Blaine Gabbert, but he said one man probably will not be enough to get the job done. And again, it's hard to go wins and losses at the beginning of the season because you don't know what's going to happen injury-wise, momentum-wise. You had a close win, you had a close loss, and how you're going to respond. But he had Nebraska at 11-1, which obviously puts them in the championship game for the Big 12 and BCS title game.
You know, looking up and down that schedule, Doug, and you're right on the injury deal and the emotional deal. If you come off a big emotional win with Texas at Oklahoma State, I think it would be a dangerous game. But you look up and down there as far as talent on talent, Nebraska should be able to take care of business. I think A&M, I said that a long time ago, that looked to me to be the toughest game, you know, on this schedule. Well, Texas, of course. Texas and A&M, those two games, those are the asterisk games. If you can get by those, do they have a shot at running a table to a Big 12 title game? I think they do.
Well, yeah, I think they can go. Let me be on the other side of the fence here, Daddy, because something Husker fans never want to talk about. Everybody's wide-eyed, and they're talking about Texas, and they're overlooking Washington. I have a bad feeling about some of this. That's why coaches try to keep it under wraps and give you that boring one-game-at-a-time stuff. What is the worst? What would be, you know, realistically, I don't mean that, I'm not talking about 8 turnover games and losing to Baylor. I'm asking who, and I know Baylor's not, you know, just tell me what would be the worst scenario you think for the Huskers. Because I think there are scenarios out there that if the quarterback situation doesn't pan itself out, and unfortunately Jared Crick and the boys aren't as good up front as they were last year, even if they're very good, you know, this team, you go into Washington, that's a tough game. Washington, Texas, Missouri, A&M. I mean, if you lost all the games that everybody considers that could be, I mean, that's they've lost 4 games in the last couple of years. You don't want to talk about it, but you have to bring it up. If this one thing happens, what would be doomsday for the Big Red?
9-3. I got to think 9-3. Because for every, you know, I would think you could be able to even that out. You want the worst-case scenario, I guess you'd say 7-5 would be worst case scenario if you want to look at it. If you want to look at it from the pessimistic point of view, yeah, Washington, Texas, Oklahoma State, Missouri, A&M. I mean, those 5 right there.
Yeah, and what if it's Oklahoma State or not? I mean, going to Kansas State, they're going to be all fired up for that game. If Colorado finds a quarterback, I think they're going to be good. And you never know. It's wide open. Now, again, we don't believe that that's what's going to happen, but. We've seen teams that go in with high expectations. Remember the last time that Nebraska was ranked this high in the preseason was the 7-7 year. So you just never know. But expectations, see, Husker fan doesn't want to hear that. And that's why we have to bring that up from time to time. We'll be getting into our Husker gurus and Steve Sippel and Sean Callahan and Mitch Sherman and Steve Ryan from Big Red Report and Lee Barfneck from Omaha World Herald and a lot more of those folks as we get closer to the actual start of the season on September the 4th. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And good luck, Hastings College men's soccer team, the unanimous preseason selection to win the GPAC Conference. Joe DeMeo, get your fantasy football questions in. And we'll talk to Joe from FantasyPlayersEdge.com next.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You've heard me talk about GoToMeeting.com. It's the easiest and most convenient way to host online meetings from your PC and Mac. Exciting news, now you can even take it to go on the iPad tablet. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, has a free app built specifically for the iPad. With GoToMeeting.com on your iPad, you can attend online meetings on the go, at a cafe, in a hotel, wherever you are. Just download the GoToMeeting app and join sessions on your iPad tablet in seconds. Connect the audio through your iPad or over the phone. I highly recommend GoToMeeting. These days, it's about saving time and saving money. And my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for a month. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Colin. Be sure to use the promo code Colin. Save time and money. GoToMeeting.com now on your iPad tablet.
The courtyard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill, their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing, or how about their outstanding prime rib. Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Carney.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we'll see a spotty shower or storm possible with high temperatures to around 97. South winds will stay at 5 to 15. Tonight's lows reach 70 with an isolated storm possible. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 88.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The hated Yankees are at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City for the next four nights, taking on the Royals. Daddy, Zach Greinke won't pitch against him. He pitched yesterday.
Got screwed.
I would move him up to Sunday. Give me a break. That's unfortunate.
It doesn't matter now. I mean, you've already screwed yourself.
They got to score.
We're just in the middle of this process, and it just takes some time.
Did you get my email yesterday?
I did.
Okay. I thought you'd find that enjoyable.
Nobody put a date on your email, though, of when things would.
Yeah. It was interesting. We, and when I say we, the members of the Royals Radio Network received an email yesterday just kind of letting everybody know how things are going in the minor leagues and all these great prospects. It doesn't matter. They're going to trade them away if they're any good anyway. They keep doing it. So I saw him talking on baseball tonight about all these great players that the Pittsburgh Pirates have, and they're begging and imploring that hopefully some of them will, that Pittsburgh will keep some of these guys.
Supposedly to these people from Baseball Prospectus and these minor league publications,
scouts and
whatever, they say that in the top 20 prospects of people, position players coming up, Kansas City supposedly has five of them. They've got four left-handed pitchers, you know, supposedly waiting in the wings. It could be the top half of everybody in the Major League Baseball's rotation.
Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Since we're talking disappointment, Joe, who's the biggest disappointment in fantasy baseball this year? Good morning.
Well,
good morning, by the way.
Good morning. I mean, there are a couple that jump off the screen. The first one would be Aramis Ramirez. And the way you kind of evaluate this is, based on their relative strength or where they might have been selected. Ramirez probably was a third, maybe a fourth round pick, one of the top maybe three or four third basemen, and just as underachieved. Another one that really is, hits me is Aaron Hill. He was probably the third or fourth second baseman off the board based on his, 35 home runs last year. And Hill has just struggled mightily to get off the Mendoza line at 200. And the last one might be B.J. Upton, full of promise, but just is one of those guys that consistently underachieves in the power department. He does have 33 steals, which does somewhat mitigate the disappointment. But you had to figure him for more than 9 or 10 home runs at this stage of the season. So those three guys based on and maybe the biggest, the most glaring would be first round pick Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp was essentially first round material in just about every draft. Whether he went in the top five or top ten was not relevant. He was in that conversation of the top 10 or 15 players heading into the season. And Kemp has been a marked underachiever this season.
John, I'm going to switch right to football because that's what's been on my mind all week long as fantasy drafts approach. You don't look for rookies to make a big impact in fantasy football. The year two crop, though, when you look at the quarterback position, say a Matthew Stafford, a Mark Sanchez, you look at the running backs, a Knowshon Moreno, a Beanie Wells, wide receivers, Crabtree, Hakeem Nicks, which one of those sophomores looks to you to be like that stand-up guy that could really move up draft boards, that second-year player?
Well, I don't like any of the QBs heading into their second year, and of course that would include Matthew Stafford, Josh Freeman, and Mark Sanchez. In those leagues that require two quarterbacks, certainly those guys figure. But if you're in a standard format, at best, with perfect matchups, Stafford and Freeman and even Sanchez, to me, would be more like bye week replacements than guys you want to rely on for the entirety of the season. Looking at the wide receivers, there are some interesting guys who I think have great opportunity to step up and become overachievers in year two. I'm speaking of Hakeem Nicks and Mike Wallace in Pittsburgh. With Wallace now taking over the complement to Hines Ward. In other words, he'll be the guy stretching the field. He looks to me to be, with Santonio Holmes now moving over to the Jets, he looks to me to have a tremendous opportunity. The real issue you have is how will he perform in those first four games? Well, Roethlisberger is on the sideline. You'll have wind him up Byron Leftwich under center. So he may be kind of a sleeper guy where you grab him. He doesn't really achieve much in weeks one through four, but then all of a sudden he starts to elevate his game when Roethlisberger returns. We do think Hakeem Nicks is one of the most talented young receivers in the game of football right now. We also like Pierre Garçon. We think he's going to step up and have a nice season. He's already listed as being opposite Reggie Wayne. He's only going to get better. In the rookie crop, real quick, we think Ryan Matthews has a chance to make a significant impact. There's really no one standing in his way in San Diego for him being the feature back there. We think Dez Bryant should be successful. Yes, he has a high ankle sprain, problematic, but we think he's going to have a nice opportunity to step up and achieve. I should also mention sophomore Michael Crabtree. Crabtree is going to be better this year as well, and should make for a very nice wide receiver three. And lastly, in the running back category, C.J. Spiller.
I was going to ask you Crabtree or Macklin, but I think you've already answered that, so let's go on to the next question. Because people have had their drafts, are having them in the next week, there's going to be some questions that you just can't answer because the drafts are being held early compared to when the season starts. Brandon Marshall was in this spot last year, and if you drafted him, you hit a home run because he ended up being a stud. You're going to be scared of Ben Roethlisberger. You're going to be scared of Brett Favre, and maybe you've got a couple more names out there. Joe, do you just avoid them and just not worry about it? Because they always are going to get picked too soon, and then you might have somebody that just flat out doesn't play in Favre's case. Is there anybody else like that you have to be wary of?
Well, I mean, you're hitting it right on the head. If you're drafting between now and the time when that information becomes available, you have to treat these guys, you have to treat Favre like he's retired. Regardless of what you speculate, what you think, I think he's going to return, it doesn't matter. If you're drafting prior to that announcement that he is absolutely returning, you have to, if you want to speculate, then move Sidney Rice up a little bit on your draft board. If you want to speculate that Favre's going to return and you want to take advantage of that, then move Sidney Rice up, position or two on your draft board. And you could play Favre through Rice that way. But you can't rely on a guy to be your number one quarterback, especially in a year where we think quarterback has some real interesting overhangs. We only like seven QBs, coming into the season. And that would be Rodgers, Breeze, Manning, Peyton, that is, Brady, Rivers, Romo, Schaub, if Schaub can stay healthy. We think Jay Cutler is interesting in a Mike Morris offense. McNabb in Washington without the tools that he had in Philadelphia. Kevin Cobb with the tools but without the experience. Ryan probably will improve. Flacco will probably improve. But these guys are far from being absolutely positively studs. So we feel like if you're drafting, prior to Favre coming back, and even with the Roethlisberger overhang, you really need to try and target one of those seven quarterbacks. And what I'm telling people is keep an eye on the draft. If you're in the third round and five quarterbacks are off the board, you really need to get your quarterback. If you're in the third round and the only ones off the board maybe are Rodgers and Breeze and Manning, you can maybe speculate that, Romo or Schaub will fall to you round four. Pay attention to what's happening.
Joe, which position is deeper once you get past that top tier of players? Running back or wide receiver?
Wide receiver. We think running back this year is a bit thin. I mean, after you get past the seventh pick, which we make to be Frank Gore, and that would be Chris Johnson, Peterson, Jones, Drew, Steven Jackson, Michael Turner, Ray Rice, Frank Gore, you have issues. You have Rashad Mendenhall, looks like he's going to be a stud. D'Angelo Williams coming off injuries. Cedric Benson, it's hard for me to throw that name out, but he looks like he should be okay. Sean Green with the LT overhang. Ronnie Brown with the injury. Adai with losing Jeff Saturday for several weeks. No Sean Marino on the sideline. Beanie Wells got dinged. So there's a lot of question marks. At wide receiver, we don't feel like, we feel like you can go to, down to pick 20. And that's, Wes Welker followed by Crabtree and Sims Walker and Nicks. And there's just, we feel like there's a lot of depth at wide receiver this year.
Steven Jackson, aren't they going to have 10 guys in the box?
Right? Well, they got to get better. And the name, and we're running out of time. I wish we had more time to debate this a little bit, and we'll do it next week. Everybody has Rashard Mendenhall up on the list. I guess maybe some of that has to do with the Roethlisberger hangover. I hope I'm not in a position where I have to draft him. I guess, Joe, I've got an emailer here. This is from Eric. He says, hey, Joe, would you take a risk at starting C.J. Spiller as a starter and what your expectations are of him?
No, I would not. Fred Jackson will come out of camp as a starter. There's no two ways about it. Marshawn Lynch has become the forgotten man up in Buffalo, and I think C.J. Spiller will have limited packages coming into the season. I think to carry him on your roster, not as a starter, but as a guy who will get lots of touches maybe in weeks 8 through 14, that's a smart play. Please don't rely on C.J. Spiller for the first 4 to 6 games as being a guy who's going to get 15 to 22 touches. You want to make sure your RBs have at least 18 to 22 touches as an RB1 and 15 to 19 touches as an RB2.
Erica, thanks for the email. And Joe, one for me, just getting back to that previous comment. Most of the leagues that we're all in are right around 12. Usually there's 12 teams. Some are 10. Some, might have 13 or 14, but usually it's 12. So if it goes like it should, and you mentioned the seven running backs, and then somebody's going to pick a quarterback. So you've got that 9th through 12th pick. Everybody to Frank Gore's gone, and somebody took Drew Brees and or Peyton Manning. You're sitting there in that 9-10 hole. You don't draft a running back. Is that where you take the top-tier quarterback? Is that where you hope Andre Johnson or one of the top two wide receivers are? Because you're going to get right back on the serpentine system and be able to maybe get two mediocre running backs. What would your strategy be if you're on that 9, 10, 11, 12 draft status and you know all those running backs are going to be gone by the time it gets to you?
Well, if I can get Aaron Rodgers and Andre Johnson on that swing, I'd be very, very pleased. And then I would look to take a running back like Matt Forte in round three, a guy with a lot of upside in a Mike Martz offense who will be completely overlooked. Maybe Sean Green is sitting there in round three, and maybe Felix Jones there in round four. There's a lot of speculative plays. If I can get Aaron Rodgers and Andre Johnson, I feel like I have the top one or two or three quarterbacks and the top one or two free receivers. I'll play it that way and then circle back and see if I can get a Forte and a Felix Jones or someone of that ilk in rounds three and four. Maybe Ronnie Brown will fall because of the speculation on his knee. I agree with you. After Gore, it gets a little dicey.
Joe, you're the best. As always, great information. And on a scale of 1 to 10, you're the bestest.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. It's always a joy to come on. And as we get closer to the season, we get a couple of games under our belt, I think we can be even more specific on how to steer folks for their drafts.
Sounds outstanding. Joe DeMaio, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joins us every Thursday. Joe, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take very good care. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, my first draft is next Thursday.
Already?
Yeah, well, exactly, already. I'm looking at your Pro Football Weekly. Jason Campbell in the 16th round was selected by somebody. Stuart Appleby has the lead at the PGA Championship, 3-under through 5. Some guy you never heard of, Kyle Flinton, is at 2-under with Rob Loretto. You know, those guys that are up there for a little bit. Fog in Wisconsin, you know. I guess whatever. It does that at Pebble Beach. It does that on the West Coast.
That's
so.
Smog at Pebble Beach.
No.
Fog
beautiful,
in Wisconsin.
Beautiful. It's beautiful stuff. So that's where it's at. PGA Championship. Check it out and enjoy the live stuff there. By the way, on ESPN2, the Kearney Little Leaguers were in the Indianapolis Regional. They're playing the first semifinal there. And the North South Dakota team is one out away from spanking Iowa 7-2.
Get it over the plate.
So they're one out away win from advancing to the finals. So the Little League, I like watching that. It's going on from all the regionals on the ESPN network. We want to thank the fine folks for joining us on the show today. Tri-City Storm head coach and general manager Drew Schenick, Joe DeMaio of FantasyPlayersEdge.com, Hastings High football coach Rick Rebarger. Our high school football preview continues tomorrow with Scott Porter from Blue Hill. Might even have Mike Perenio on the show tomorrow from Mandalay Bay to talk a little odds. Plus, we'll get back to our Big 12 football on the show tomorrow as well.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow on both 1460 and 1550. If your friends are asking, we're back up and on the air on 1460. Love to have you join us at 11 o'clock, Doug and Daddy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.